We'll start with item number two, and, no, we're not, that's not, yep, item number two, okay, take it away.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Nate Pamplin. I'm the policy director with the department, and joined today by
Jeff Davis.
Hi, I'm Kim Marshall with Business Services.
And David Giglio, the assistant director for technology and financial management.
So this is part two of your afternoon workshop today, and that's to focus on the proviso that was in the 2017-19 operating budget. We had four kind of primary items to share with you today, but just before break, during the break, the chair said, well, let's try to shoehorn this in to an hour, and so I'm going to modify the PowerPoint. Oh, but it was very, very, very cordial. So I'm going to modify this a bit on the fly. So the four items, I think it's really important for this group to talk to you about the zero-based budget analysis. And so that's where I'd like to try to devote the most time of our next hour towards. I think it is worth just touching very briefly on the proviso workshops. I'm going to pretty much will bypass the budget overview. This was supposed to be a continuation of the discussion from last December. Unfortunately, this is those building blocks for really diving in and understanding what we're going to do with zero-based budget analysis and a long-term revenue plan. So I would ask that you take a look at the materials and give me or David a call if you have any questions about how we budget. But I'll try to touch on a couple highlights. And then we also just received, of course, the operational assessment from Matrix Consulting Group and wanted to get your engagement on those findings. So that's a lot to squeeze into an hour. We're going to do our best. Is there, if we spent 30 minutes on zero-based budget and five on the others, we'll try to make it work. Is that acceptable to the group?
Yes.
Okay. Just as a very brief reminder of what's in the department's budget, we can look at the budget through a variety of different lenses. Last December, we talked about all of the five major funding sources within the department, and we dove into great detail of each category and examples of federal block grants or mitigation contracts, et cetera. It's important to think about, especially with the zero-based budget, is not every dollar or contract is kind of universally flexible. Certain fund sources are very, very much flexible or discretionary. Others are very prescriptive. And so when you think about this hierarchy or the spectrum of different fund sources, general fund and non-restricted wildlife state has a lot of flexibility. Pittman-Robertson and Dingell-Johnson contracts we can use for a lot of work that's associated with hunting and wildlife management or with fish management, which is a bulk of our core activities. So it's flexible as far as for a variety of activities under the constraints of those federal contracts. And then it gets more and more prescriptive. Certainly a general fund proviso, for instance, is money appropriated and earmarked for a very particular activity. So just in general, about a third of our $440+ million operating budget is flexible. Two-thirds is not. So when you look at zero-based budgeting, just keep that in mind, because it's not, you can repurpose some money to another category. Two-thirds of our budget's pretty fixed. And so the question would be, do we want to do the work or just deny the contract? We can't just repurpose it. I think this will be important when we get to the development of the long-term revenue plan and developing some of our budget principles of looking at who contributes to the department's budget. Certainly there's fee payers, but we also have rate payers and taxpayers, and there might be a very different funding approach that we do for certain activities based on who contributes for that investment. We'll catch all that some other time. I will just mention briefly, another way of looking at our budget is through our different activities. And for the past several years, working with the Office of Financial Management, we divide our budget up into 13 or so major activities. And I think that through the zero-based budget analysis that we will be working on this winter and spring, we'll have an opportunity to take a look at those groupings. Right now, a lot of those are more from inside baseball. This is almost like how we describe our activities based on our programs, and it's useful for us for internal budgeting and communication with OFM. It doesn't necessarily resonate with the public, and so I think that's something that you'll see when they present the zero-based budget analysis is a very different approach to how we describe our work. So that was a lot of budget information. I hope you caught all that. We are facing some pretty significant budget challenges. The solutions that we did to balance a $27 million problem statement for this biennium are essentially landed on one-time solutions. So when I say that, that means this spring you'll be asked to start developing packages to help resolve a $27 to $30 million problem statement. And so that's why we're really trying to set you up for success for those types of conversations, to have that those fundamental information before you, because those are going to be some tough decisions.
Yeah, Barbara.
Thank you, Nate. Often when we do zero-based budgeting analyses like this, first off, great job. This is really important to do. What financial managers are asked to do is take a fresh look at the budget and build from scratch. My question is, are we doing that? And number two, do we have a part in this? Are you going to be asking us questions about priorities or not as we complete the zero-based budget?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Baker, that's a great question. So two components. The first, the zero-based budget piece here, it's probably not pure zero-based budget, wherein you start from scratch, you have a pile of $440 million, and you think, what's the most important activity? Okay, well, let's buy that. Okay, what's the next most important activity? Buy that, until you spend down $440 million. In this instance, that funding is not flexible. Two-thirds of it is booked for very specific activities. So in a sense, right off the bat, you can almost shift two-thirds of the department's budget out of zero-based budget, because the question would be whether or not we do the activity. So the remaining one-third, general fund, for instance, is essentially booked because there's an expectation that the funding is invested based on the incremental budget investments by the legislature over the past several decades. So that would require a decision package to submit. We're capturing the suite of activities and flexible or restricted nature of those fundings to at least be able to have that conversation of, is there an opportunity to repurpose funding, as well as, here's an activity, the public expectation and the legislature's expectation is to do this body of work, but we're provided this amount of funding. And so is that an opportunity to say, do we repurpose money to try to invest there, or do you try to chase new revenue? Okay. And commission thanks, Joe. The commission involvement, absolutely. That's why we propose these workshops. What we do not want, I hope collectively between the director's office and the commission, what we don't want is the commission to essentially rubber stamp 2019-21 budget proposal. The proviso itself calls out and requires that the commission is engaged in working on the zero-based budget analysis, the long-term revenue plan, and the organizational assessment. So this is why we're trying to schedule so much time this winter to provide for those discussions and get your engagement.
Thanks, Nate. I would argue that the two-thirds of restricted funding should not entirely be off the table. Having worked in government my entire life, know that sometimes we chase contracts that don't really fit in mission simply because we need to keep staff or something like that. Are we having those kinds of discussions?
Commissioner Thorburn, for a lot of the funding, and this is where I'm taking it at a pretty high level, for instance, Bonneville Power Administration funding is about $26 million of biennium. That's for very specific contract mitigation work. Some of it's to meet the Federal Columbia River Power System biological opinion. Some of it's to meet their Northwest Power Act obligations. But it's a conversation between us and Bonneville, and many of those are long-term projects. And so many of those types of restricted accounts fall into that category. It's a mitigation agreement with a PUD. It's funding for a wildlife area mitigation. So it's really not flexible. It's not like we have a choice other than to say we're not going to do the work. There are certainly some grants that are, is this a priority? Is this something we want to submit? But those are such a sliver of the overall pie that I don't think those will necessarily come up, other than I can share with you that within the executive management team, we're trying to daylight those opportunities and make sure that we're submitting grant applications for work that aligns with our highest priorities. Yeah. And so that's where the commission's engagement on the strategic plan will be very helpful as well.
Yeah, I think that answers.
So there's a lot of, big items that we're going to be presenting to you between the zero-based budget analysis, long-term revenue plan, and a strategic plan all in the next 6 months to really inform those. So happy to try to help connect those dots and those opportunities for your engagement. So just kind of going through the line here, there's efficiencies and operational improvements that have been identified in the matrix report. The zero-based budget analysis, the opportunity to repurpose existing funding and align revenue sources. Ultimately, we'll need to define our budget target and then develop the long-term revenue plan to submit to the legislature by May 1st. So that was my budget overview. Oh, boy. 11 minutes, sir. Let's move on to the implementation of the operational assessment. I refer you to a document says prepared by Rob Geddes and myself. In this document, just for the background, the proviso required us to contract with an outside consultant to evaluate and implement efficiencies of the agency's operations. We contracted with Matrix, and they completed a draft report and presented those initial findings to you in December. We received their final report on January 11th, and within it, there are 50 different recommendations. We reviewed those recommendations yesterday afternoon as part of the executive management team, and what we did is we identified kind of a number of different categories to assign that next step. A number of the items that were in the report were things that the department's actually already implemented this fall. So, for instance, ensuring that every fund source has its fair share of administrative costs. Check. We're doing that. So that was work that we did as part of balancing the budget. So that's not one I think that we would necessarily bring forward again. It's done. There's other recommendations that are saying that those are great. We need to implement now. But in some cases, we might be able to do it within existing funding. In other cases, we need to work as an executive management team to free up that funding to be able to implement that recommendation. There are several that we're going to be bringing to you as for discussions for your approval that we'll bring to the as part of our agency request legislation and budget packages to the legislature for 2019. So we'll start to develop those this spring, and you'll be voting on those in August, September timeframe. A few of the recommendations need some more research. There's others that we had just some initial concerns with implementation, but want to dialogue further and sort through those. So at the page 2 of that document, just included 10 recommendations of the 50 that really touch on areas of commission authority. The first Oh. Well, the first one is about the commission taking a more active role in overseeing the department and conducting administrative duties. The next seven or eight are about strategic planning. And then the last one is about the department establishing an outreach plan to prioritize messaging to customers. And this was a topic, certainly, of the Big Tent Committee meeting last December, where we talked about the hunting and fishing licensing marketing plan. But what else do we need? Is it a strategy for promoting outdoor recreation, or is it more of a communication plan? So anyway, I wanted to pause here. This is intended to be a workshop, and to see if there's particular engagement on any of those recommendations.
Barbara?
So, Nate, are there differences between, are there major differences between the draft plan and the final, well, I'm talking about the matrix report. We got the draft report, now we've just recently had the final report. Are there any big differences? And embedded in that question is a question that's been asked of me by an outside group of whether the department worked with Matrix to massage the plan at all before it got in its final plan, or are they completely independent of our staff?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Baker, Matrix provided a draft to us. We saw two drafts and provided comments to them. As we've talked with the principal of the contract, Alan Pennington, with Matrix, he indicated he has to stand by those recommendations. And so when I look through and the feedback that we provided, some of it was incorporated, some of it wasn't. But I think if he were here today, he would say it is his report. And I think he said something to that effect at the December meeting. There was a similar question. So as far as the 50 recommendations, a bunch of them were very operational. A number of them were items that we're implementing. Some were budget legislative related that we'll bring back to you. But here's 10 that touch on the commission's scope of responsibility. Is there...
Well, I think there were recommendations that were directed to the commission, and I appreciate that, you know, you've set up this process that is engaging us in that way. But I also think that it's important for us, the commissioners, to acknowledge that we've had some discussion about workload in our previous hour, and I agree that these are really important areas for us to be more engaged on. That's what we do. We set the strategic direction for the department. That's in our legal responsibility. And as I indicated earlier, I think we need to be really careful and thoughtful about that. And then our responsibility is to oversee that. So I love the idea of performance measures and the sort of technical aspects that they put in terms of strategic planning. But I think we need to acknowledge that this is a direction that a management audit said needs to be improved. And what does that mean to us as commissioners in terms of workload? And are we capable of doing it? And how do we prioritize and take this on? I think it's a real important discussion for us to have.
Yeah, I agree.
The one that I focused right on was item 26 and the end part of it, where the director's performance agreement should include the same criteria as a strategic plan and be similarly assessed. I think that's one of the keys to the whole thing, because to be honest right now, I'd have to look at both those documents and say whether we've done that in the past. I would doubt we had, or it wouldn't be in here. So I think that's where we really, it's our responsibility to be the director's supervisor as a board. And the strategic plan is where things are laid out that are going to happen. And to make sure those two match, I think, is a really good step in a way to get us rolling down that path. And, I'm not, like I say, there may be some good overlap there now or not, but that's a good place to start.
So, Mr. Chair, I guess I'll how would the commission like to see these again? Would you like to see, I mean, as the executive management team kind of sharpens our pencil on the recommendations, and then we report out our grouping of kind of how we're saying they're already implemented, we'll implement them now, or is it 2019? Or would you guys like to have discussion and then we develop a process for you to have that opportunity?
For these 10, right? For any.
Or of the broader report.
So...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on the broader report, too, and a follow-up of Commissioner Baker's question about independence. So at the very beginning, it says to consult with an outside management consultant and evaluate and implement. So there was a draft, and there were a lot of comments put forward, and they altered the draft, and it remains the department's option to implement all of those. So in an evaluation, well, there's some good ideas there. There's an idea here we don't really think is right. They must have missed something, or we just disagree. And so we're not in agreement with evaluating that. The legislature, of course, will take a look at the report. And if we don't implement something that this outside outfit thought was a good idea, then we're probably subject to some questioning about it. So aside from these commission matters here, were there any other things where they made a recommendation that we don't really feel is on our evaluation, on your evaluation, is something that we should not pursue or we disagree with?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner McIsaac, no, none that come that pop out. I would say there were a few that we felt as an executive management team we wanted to have some more time to discuss. Some, for instance, there was a recommendation, for instance, to, I mean, this is really in the weeds, but it was a recommendation to transfer some staff from one work unit to another. And I can see where Matrix coming in and doing a quick lift up to the hood and saw that, hey, these are particular types of analysts and shouldn't they be all aligned in another spot? Okay, well, there's other business needs that those analysts contribute to. So those are the types of things that we're wanting to sort out. It might be that there's an underlying objective, and is there another way to skin the cat to still achieve that same outcome? So, for instance, having folks participating more in the other team staff meetings or things like that, just to make sure there's stronger alignment in that work. So again, that some of the recommendations are at 50,000 foot level, commission engagement on strategic plan. Some of the recommendations are the number of direct reports to the HR director. So it's.
Yeah, I just want to follow up on that. It was called a management audit. We're not responsible for managing the department. However, you know, it looked at the department in whole, and as Nate says, some of these are recommendations that we need to be very engaged in because they have to do with our responsibility with setting strategic direction and oversight. But I don't need to make a decision about where budget analysts need to be. I'm not supposed to be there. I'm not supposed to be involved with how many human resources generalists you need or whatever. So I think it's fine for the managers of the department to be taking a look at that and going, it doesn't quite work. And I want you guys to be doing that. So where I want to be engaged with this is those, what you're calling sort of the 30,000 foot level things where we are responsible to be engaged, I think, as commissioners.
So, commissioners, I'm conscious of time and making sure we cover the zero-based budget analysis. I tried to pull out the 10 out of the 50.
I'm going to let Jay, he's biting a short one, Jay. Okay. Go. Before he has another chance to think about it, go.
Well, so try to identify those 10. I just kind of going to Commissioner McIsaac's perspective, all the ones that we are listed here, I think it's a matter of implementing. And so maybe another way to couch this is, are there any here that the commission has reservations about? Because otherwise, this is the type of work that we will continue to bring to you and incorporate these themes.
Great with them.
So are you asking that as a question for us now?
Yes, sir. Or would you like me to bring it back as a separate process?
Yeah. So following up on Commissioner Thorburn's points, some of these require decisions by us and participation by us. And I'm not sure, I'm certainly not speaking for everybody, but at this particular point, I'm not positive how exactly we're going to do that. And I do see you asking for us to figure that out. So I think we need to figure that out. And I don't think that today's the time, but in my management past, that question, how a commission or a board or a group or a committee or a task force or a Blue Ribbon Commission, whatever you call it, can actually actualize the suggestions is the toughest part. That's the hard part. So I offer to work with Brad and Kim and anybody else who wants to offer and get you an answer.
Yeah, I don't think we can just respond right now.
I'm sorry, but
I knew it was coming.
There again, in the 90s we went through a deal with HRM, and it all became, if you're going to be sustainable, you got to be sustainable, and it's not only environmentally but financially. And there was 150 of us statewide went into this, and the first thing they told us was, if we're successful and really get you people managing right, everybody's going to change. And there was actually people that quit ranching and farming because they realized it wasn't their gig. But, I mean, there was absolutely no sacred cows. And you get in these and people, well, my cows need protein. No, they don't. And, I mean, it just became, they made us keep time cards of what we were doing. Because on a ranch, we were, and I'm headed somewhere with this, folks, so give me a minute here. We were actually made us keep time cards on a ranch because we were doing stuff that we liked to do that wasn't making us a dime. I mean, it was brutal. We weren't supposed to drive a four-wheel drive pickup on a paved road. I mean, that's how tight, because if you really got into it. The point I'm trying to make is whether we need to bring somebody in from outside, I'm not faulting any of you people sitting there, but we get paradigms set up that this is how we do business. And this deal that we are in, they challenged any and everything that you did. At the end of this, I gave up an 800-acre wheat farm lease because when you really sat down and did the time involved, the money, the return, this, that, and the other. Every one of us that went through that, and two or three of my friends, we laughed about it because we were broke. 3 years later, after we made changes, we were all driving brand new pickups. And just because what we were doing, we were making. But these, when you're talking these kind of cuts, they're tough. And sometimes you need to bring somebody in from the outside that isn't bound by these paradigms and will look at things straight. And they will challenge you. They will challenge what you've been doing and how you've been doing it. And I thoroughly understand your part that a third of the budget, or what, no, two-thirds of your budget is. But even in those, are you spending those dimes? So I'm sorry, but I just, and I know business and government are different, but we got to challenge our own paradigms of how we do business if you're truly going to be successful, because I know we turned our place around and made changes and stuff. And no, there again, we laughed about it, but 3 years later, driving a new pickup that was paid for. So it can work if you challenge yourself hard enough.
J1.
Thank you. When I look at this Big Ten, I see 7 out of the 10 have the word strategic plan in it. And I think what we're going to need as a commission is help from you that say, for instance, 14 has to happen before 21, 21 has to happen before 26. It's just obvious that there's some hierarchy here of needs, that things have to occur in a certain way. But I can almost guarantee it's hard for us to, any one of us, to push a button that says, participate in the development of the department's strategic plan. Where does that happen? When does it occur? And how can we be efficient and effective at that? So there might be a process that needs to happen where, first off, we are sent and we review in our own time frame the current strategic plan. We're made sure we're aware of where we go with the next process in the next strategic plan and what time frame it covers. And then we can't even get to the part where that matches the performance director's or the director's performance agreement until it's all clear in front of us and laid out. So help with that, I think, is what we need, the process, because when we leave here, then we're like a group of magpies leaving the carcass. I don't know, that just came to my mind. We just fly away to other places. And we don't come back again until there's meat on the ground. Sorry, this is really getting bad, but I think you get my point.
You've done better.
There are some work plans in our agenda, so we could take a look at those. I think staff has been thinking about this.
Commissioners, wanted to make sure you're aware the final report's out. Here's the recommendations. Just seeking your interest in engaging on this. We'll certainly continue to refine this as an executive management team. There's a number of key steps that we can bring to you, but I did appreciate Commissioner Baker's comment about if there's additional insights or some of these items that go on the commission's workshop list. We can help with that as well. So just wanted to make sure you were aware of the opportunity for engaging here. Okay, the next items are just very quickly, the upcoming commission workshops. Just had a discussion on the committee's proposal and heard that committee timeframes now are scheduled from 3 to 6 o'clock on Thursday. So I'm looking for some direction here on whether or not you would still like to have workshops on the proviso, or we can park this as agenda items and then you can see and kind of pick and choose what other policy items you want to consider.
What's the pleasure?
It seems to me we certainly want to have it somewhere, and so maybe at the end of the meeting when we balance out the next meeting business and the year at a glance, we could figure that out. But I guess from my perspective, we don't want to just not lose it. But there's a few things we may still learn during the course of the meeting that might adjust what that answer is.
Personally, I think it's really important to stay engaged because the legislature gave us this task to do. And if the commission just goes there, that is sending a really bad message to the legislature.
So why don't we put it on the workshop for the?
Okay.
Because it's fresh in our mind, and that's just a couple weeks away.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. I'll just say that certainly at the April Commission meeting, we'll have some time on your formal agenda for the adoption of the long-term revenue plan. At the March meeting, one concept that we talked about in December a little bit, I believe, was perhaps bringing forward some citizen panels, perhaps some members of our new budget and policy advisory group for March to be able to talk about different activities the department does and interest in funding those activities. And so that takes a fair amount of work to set up. And so we'll look for, if we were to do something like that, I basically have 8 weeks to try to set up those panel discussions for your March meeting. Is that something of interest, or is that something we'll set aside?
I'm back to what I just said. I think we better stay engaged on this, or we're going to send a really nasty message to the legislature.
So we'd have the workshop 2 hours in February, then this in March, right?
Okay.
From my perspective, you are spending a ton of time with the people that are on your budget and advisory group, and also following what Commissioner Thorburn was saying earlier, It's important for us to hear this, but at this point, we are prioritizing what we can do. I would rather hear from you the synopsis of their points rather than go through a whole nother basically public input at a workshop, which when we set this time up, I thought, my God, this is going to be so great. We're going to have a lot of time to really work through things. And already we're just we're crunching every minute we can get out of it. So my suggestion would be you let us know what we need to know. That's
okay. Other thoughts on that? I concur.
Okay. Thanks, Commissioner. So what we'll do is we'll try to make sure you're informed of those kind of major steps that we're working through and updates of the progress of the Budget and Policy Advisory Group.
One other option I'll just toss out. It's scheduled for the workshop. If we put it on the agenda and it may be even allowed for public testimony, very often when we have something on our agenda and there's public testimony, we'll have folks from the advisory committees who are very engaged with this come and provide public testimony. So that would allow somebody from the advisory committee who was really interested in a specific area to come and provide us testimony as an option without setting up a panel.
So one or two people you're thinking?
Well, anybody who wants to come who's engaged. I mean, very often we get somebody from the diversity advisory group who comes and testifies on it, for example. So,
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Thorburn, I think that's a great idea. So that's what we'll pursue. So, okay, so with that, if we could still have 25 minutes or so, I'll turn it over to folks doing the zero-based budget.
Thank you, Nate. Mr. Chair, members of Commission, once again, this is David Giglio. Just want to introduce you really quickly to our ZBB, zero-based budget process. It sounds like many of you already worked through a zero-based budget process. You know what it's like. We're not Sony. We're not going to make the switch from beta to VHS. We're not going to abandon VHS in favor of DVDs and then Blu-rays. However, as you said, there are no sacred cows. We need to look at our budget, be very transparent about what we do. Let's go to the next slide. And implement this set of requirements from the budget bill. I won't read through this.
Make sure they know they have a copy of it in front of them.
And we're looking at this document right here. Strategic budget analysis.
Make sure you come back.
So we're not doing that one to N ranking. The proviso requirements does not ask us to do that. The first two items there really are asking about why we do what we do, and the last six really focus on how much do you spend doing that and how do you know if you're effective. The ranking is something we are leaving to our work with the Budget and Policy Advisory Group. That's the forum where we want to get feedback from our stakeholders, our customers, on what is important for us to do more of, to do less of, to stop doing, and we're looking at that as our forum for really having that conversation where the sacred cows will get gored as needed. So basically our goal in this process is to put information out in a way that makes our budget transparent, that allows people to dive in quickly and give us feedback on what's important to them about what services we deliver and what results we produce. Basically, this is meant to be a foundation for the long-term revenue conversation and meant to be a way of reframing what we do so the public has an easier time understanding what we do and why. With that, I'll turn it over to Kim.
Thank you. Hello, Commissioners. I'm excited to have the opportunity to spend some time with you today. So with this ask from the legislature in front of us with the proviso to do this zero-based budget practice, we ran into the challenge we so often run into, and that's that it's complicated. When we want to talk about our budget or the work we do or how well we're doing it or how good the environment's doing, it's very complicated, and rightfully so. It's an ecosystem. By nature, everything within it is interconnected. So when we spend $1 doing one thing, it may benefit seven things and may even adversely affect something in a different direction. Everything kind of has a push and a pull in it. And similarly, when we go to the legislature and we try and talk to them about the situation we're in, and they're trying to grasp what's going on, they feel the complication, and we feel it as well in talking with them. So we were faced with, first and foremost, figuring out how do we simplify this? How do we find a way to talk about what we do and the money we spend on it in a way that people can come along for the story and be informed when they're trying to make recommendations to us? So we had some principles. This is a few of the higher level ones as we were trying to think about this. The way we talk about it has to resonate with the public. It can't be, as Nate called it, it can't be talking about inside baseball that doesn't make sense to other people. We have to think about how the public views us and talk about our agency in that way. We can't represent dollars in different directions because they benefit both fishing and hunting, because that just adds complexity as opposed to simplifying it. And we needed a way to make conversations easier and more clear, meet the proviso requirements, and it had to make logical sense and be easy to follow. So we wrestled with all of that a lot, and we started collecting information from the different people in the agency and started trying to wade through it all, and something started to become a little bit clear, that the question we're really trying to answer in its most simple form is, what do we do, why do we do it, and how do we do it? Sort of driven from that, from the who, what, when, where, and how. Who, DFW, when, and where is a layer of complexity. We're not quite there yet. But what do we do, why do we do it, and how do we do it? And the answer to why becomes easy. We have a mission. Everything that we do should be done in service of that mission. And so, to preserve, protect, and perpetuate fish, wildlife, and ecosystems while providing sustainable fish and wildlife, recreational, and commercial opportunities. And as we look at our mission, we can kind of dissect it into two separate things that are very interconnected, but are really different bodies of work. So on one side, we preserve, protect, and perpetuate fish, wildlife, and ecosystems. Really, this is kind of the conservation work that we do to make sure that everything we do today is sustained into the future, everything we do and everything we have. And on the other side, we provide sustainable fish and wildlife recreational and commercial opportunities. So sort of the consumption side of things, if you will, which is, it's kind of fun to look at it that way because they're almost opposing, yet very interconnected at the same time, and we have to be successful at both of them. So as we saw this story start to work itself out a little bit, we recognize that we have our why, we have our who, and now what is it that we do? So we were able to start thinking about that first part, the conservation part, and recognize that, and you can see this on your paper better, the first part, preserve, protect, and perpetuate, sorry, on your printed one. Actually, let me orient you. You have the slide deck, and then within your binders, you guys have a map that is the final version of what I'm going to piece together for you here. So what do we do for the conservation side of it? What do we do for ecosystems when we preserve, protect, and perpetuate them? And that takes us a little bit to the what question. What do we do in order to achieve that why, if you will? So we preserve and restore aquatic habitat and species. We acquire and manage lands, and we preserve and restore terrestrial habitats and species. So that's what we do. And then the deeper question becomes, how do we do that? Which takes us down to the next level, and I only displayed part of this here. But every white box here is some body of work that we were able to roll up stuff to try and create this this sub-activity that the agency does, if you will, what we do to try and achieve the yellow box above it. And so we're able to tell that story that for the ecosystems, we do these three things, and this is how we do it currently. Then we take it a little bit deeper, and we recognize that, okay, while we do all the conservation work for our ecosystems, we have to introduce the human element, the recreation and commercial opportunities part of our mission. And so what do we do in order to do that? Well, we manage fishing opportunities and we produce hatchery fish in order to ensure that there are commercial and recreational fishing opportunities. We manage hunting opportunities in order to ensure that we have hunting opportunities. And for the non-consumptive recreational opportunities, we provide and facilitate those as well. So we're able to take our mission, dissect it into the two separate parts,
and sort of build this picture of what do we do and how do we do it, which is what you guys have in that map in front of you. And then at the foundation, the bottom part of all that, the little blue box, we recognize that in order to be successful at doing any of this, we have to have some business infrastructure to try and meet some of these basic needs, or some of this work of our mission. Let's see here. And then we bring it all together into one map of our way of trying to represent the agency and what we do in a simple, logical fashion, so that way we can talk about how we spend our budget dollars with people so they can help us make decisions about the agency, about our strategies, about how we spend money. Furthermore, we have the copy that you guys have in your binder. We have had all of our budget staff pull all of our 15-17 biennium spending together and go MI by MI, excuse me, master index, so our budget codes, and say this goes to this sub-function, this white box on this map, if you will. And we've been able to take all of our funds and map them to how they were spent based on this way of viewing the agency. And that is represented in the printout that you guys do have. There's green numbers in each white box, and all those add up to the yellow box above it. You'll notice on there that there is also in parentheses a dash R and a dash F with different numbers behind them. And that's our representation of restricted versus flexible funding. However, some of those restricted funds, as they're represented on there, are not very restricted, so it's not like they have to stay in that box, and we recognize that we need to do some work in figuring out how to break that out a little bit further. I do want to add one note. A lot of this has been moving very fast, and there's been one key change since I gave Tammy your guys' printout to put in your binders, and that is that on the bottom blue section, we have X3 and X4, which is market hunting and fishing opportunities, as well as sell licenses. Those are going to be, per our EMT decision yesterday, they're going to be pulled out of that bottom section and incorporated into managed hunting opportunities and managed fishing opportunities, because they really do apply directly to those, and it's really easy to split those dollars out appropriately.
Sound like the broken record and gives me heartburn. Is in on this sheet acquire and manage ground $62.3 million. Is that pretty well dedicated money?
Yeah, Commissioner Holtzmiller, I think we'll get to that type of a question. You've got the data in front of you, and in a few minutes I'll be talking you through that and how to read that chart and find exactly the answer to that question, because that is exactly the point of this exercise, is to make this transparent so everyone can see where the money is, where it comes from, where it goes. So if you don't mind holding off, we'll get right to that.
And actually, on that note, my job was to kind of orient you to the way we're trying to tell the story and talk about these things. And I'm going to hand it over to David to talk about some of the artifacts and products that we'll be creating.
Great. Thank you, Kim. So next slide, please. So what we'll be looking at here is the proviso asked us to define our programs, and each of those seven items in yellow and the business operations at the bottom, those are the programs that we're talking about. Next slide. For each program, we will be answering all of those proviso questions. Those 1 through 8 requirements, it ends up being over 100 pages of text at this point. I think we can edit it down a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be the most user-friendly document because it's simply too big. It's too much information. It will meet the requirements of the proviso, and that's great. It will be a useful reference document because we have a consistent formatting throughout. Anyone who wants to dig deeper into anything, they'll be able to go right where they want to go and get the answers they want. But it's not something anyone's going to read cover to cover without a few naps. So that's why we are creating this one-page distillation. You don't have copies of this in your binder because we're still on the front end of creating them. We have one drafted. It looks like that, and we're going to continue to work to refine that, and then you'll see it. But the goal here is to really condense that text into a more visual format that focuses on why we do what we do, what are the outcomes we produce, What's the color of money that's behind that so people can see at a glance? Okay, is there federal money there? Is that license fees? What's funding this? I want to know. All those answers at a high level in front of people. And the goal there is to have something that really digests our budget and our work, combines them, inputs of budget, outputs of outcomes, on-the-ground results, combines them on one page so the public, the legislature, anyone can look at this and kind of get a grasp of what the agency is and does quickly, and especially for our budget and policy advisory group. They can use that as a launching point for their conversations about what we do and what's most important. Yeah, next slide, please. So here are some of the outcomes. We've created these categories, these activities of our work. We've tried to make them more outcome-focused rather than reflecting how the agency's organized. These reflect the services we provide. So these are numbers we can produce that are kind of interesting that we haven't been able to really produce easily before. For instance, in that first largest slice on the upper right, these are 2015 to 2017 expenditures, our actual expenditures across all budgets. And you'll see that about a quarter of our expenditures had to do with hatchery fish production. But that is not just the fish program. There's other programs that are involved in that. Similarly, managing fishing opportunities at 21%, that involves work that the wildlife program does in our wildlife areas, making fishing access possible. It involves our enforcement program, license sales. All of those things roll together to manage fisheries. So we can talk about this in a way that's customer-centric rather than agency-centric. So that's a really wonderful transition in my mind. So you can look through here and see the relative size and scale of all the different pieces of the different elements of the agency there.
All of those will be one-pagers?
We'll have a one-pager for each of those, yes. Yep. So here's an example of how you can look at the fund makeup for each of those seven main work areas, seven main activities in the business functions. So this chart breaks out the different fund sources by color. Just to explain the legend at the bottom, blue, that's federal money, that's pretty straightforward. User fees, that includes our licenses, plus things like Discover Pass, plus our endorsements like Columbia River Steelhead Salmon, plus auction raffle, even HPA application fees. It's the user pays, polluter pays, pay-to-play mentality. Those are all lumped together as user fees. State and local contracts, that might include public utility districts mitigation grants for hatchery operations, but it also includes all the money we get from other state agencies, whether it's through their operating budget or through the state capital budget, for any purpose. General tax, that's mostly the state general fund, but it also includes some taxes that the State Toxics Control Account and ALEA, the Aquatic Lands Enhancement Account, where there are taxpayers, whether it's us as purchasers of fuel or Chinese buying gooey ducks, people are paying taxes, funding this. It's not really linked to our work directly, but we're the beneficiary of a fund that's pretty flexible in how it's used.
The ALEA is put back. I mean, is that all like grant? I mean, the money that comes in, it goes out. So
we do have an ALEA grant program, right, that distributes maybe 5% or 10% of what we get from that account.
Oh, it's only a percent of that.
We have received more. When General Fund was hurting, we were successful in getting some ALEA money to operate our hatcheries, and I think we also use it for a few other purposes as well. So this level of a chart will not be able to focus on an account like ALEA. It does let us lump things together into these broad categories of user fees, general taxes, federal dollars. And so, as an example, some of the things you see here as you look at this, what's the role of user fees in producing hatchery fish? You can look at this chart and you find out that orange bar on the far left, that's pretty small. Hatchery production does not rely on user fees much at all. That might be a surprise for most people to know. Managing fishing opportunities, that has a large chunk of our user fees, our license fees, and managing hunting opportunities over on the right also has a large chunk. But look at the difference in scale between what we spend on managing hunting versus what we spend on producing fish and managing fish. So one of the things that we're seeing immediately is that this kind of gives us a sense of perspective and scale on the work we do and tell our story in a way that we haven't been able to successfully do it in the past.
This has great educational benefit from legislators to the press. So I think the rollout of this, the strategy of the rollout, will be very important. And I would encourage to keep it as simple and straightforward, like the one-pagers. But when you mentioned a 100-pager document before, you know, I glazed over. But a one-pager that shows exactly that, how limited amount of X goes to fund Y or whatever, that's very important in educating our broad public. So I think the rollout's going to be critical.
Yeah. This and this, you tell your story so well. I'm just excellent.
I'm very impressed. I know the challenges of trying to go to the legislature and talking to legislators in different districts that may have a different concern or priority about, and even perception of the department of what it does. To be able to simplify it so much really creates an excellent tool for communication.
Thank you. Commissioners, I'm very pleased to hear that. That has been our goal, is to make us more successful at reaching people, and I'm glad that this is resonating. I'm optimistic that this becomes a model and a tool for how we talk about pretty much everything we do, every budget request. This is a framework and eventually a launching pad even for strategic planning, because it really is results-focused and simplifies things, streamlines things. We're optimistic about what this work does for us over the long term.
The other thing that I'm thinking is very often our really engaged constituents come to us speaking about a species. And this, I think, kind of draws us away from that kind of thing. You know, it's hopefully going to help our constituents to shift. A species needs a healthy ecosystem and other species. It's all, like you were showing, of the interconnected. That's true of our work as well. And I think it can be helpful. Our department itself does a little bit better. You know, they understand, our staff understand. But even then, we have programs and divisions. And you know, I think this is going to help to make that more integrated as well. But I, you know, as you go forward thinking about this, we need to get away from the a species thinking to the landscape. And I think this is helping.
Thank you, Commissioner. We have one more slide on this before I pass it over to Jeff about how this gets used. You have a bunch of charts that will help answer your question, Commissioner Holtzmiller. For every one of our activities, it breaks out by subfunction. It shows the dollar amounts. It shows the dollars by those fund categories. So you can see wherever you want to look, where's the federal money, what's it supporting, not just the general activity, but specifically, how is it being used? And for the one-page rollout, this is how we're thinking on the screen, is how we're thinking of portraying that with those bars to give it a relative sense of scale. So, for instance, in this example of preserving and restoring aquatic habitat and species, you can see that aquatic habitat restoration is the largest source of expenditures. Climate impacts and AIS, oil spills, very, very small, if even visible on that bar chart at all. And then if you're curious, okay, well, you've got a lot of money going behind aquatic habitat restoration. What kind of money is that? You can look at the table and you can see, oh, federal is a big chunk of that. There's a lot of federal money. Oh, and state and local contracts. So that's not me as an angler paying for that. That's grant money we're leveraging.
Yeah. I've done it twice now, so I know it's just not – well, it is just me because I've done it twice. But it hit me again. I was trying to add up – like acquire and manage lands, and I look at this sheet and it says $62.3 million, and I'm thinking, where is that on these sheets? You know, that final column off to the right where it shows the final number might be helpful to others, because it's if you're doing the chimpanzee test, it caught me. And I went, who?
Yep, that's one of the things that I was looking at this, and it's like, oh, we missed the total column on the right, and we missed the percentage column running along the bottom row, so people can get a sense of overall how important federal is without having to do the math in their heads.
So on Jay's question, how much of that $62.3 million under acquire and manage lands is earmarked or restricted? You can add those numbers up here and come up with that. But when you come over here, you have to say, okay, so much of it came from federal, so much of it came from state, et cetera, and figure that out, I guess.
Exactly, exactly. So that's something that we'll improve.
The totals, yeah.
See, we do pay attention.
Good afternoon. I have negative 3 minutes to talk to you about the human dimension aspect of this project.
But we still respect you, Jeff.
Appreciate that. By the way, the 100-page document is getting a lot of trash talk, but there's a lot of really important work that went into that 100-page document. And I think Commissioner Thorburn's point is a good one. There's evolution going on internally, too, as we start to break out of our organizational boxes and have to write about our work and how it's connected to deliver an outcome. So I'm excited about that piece, and I haven't talked to Nate about this yet, but he and I will work on an interpretive dance routine for a future workshop, so you don't necessarily have to pore through the 100-page document. The OX scoring, we have, I think, a real outstanding opportunity in a pretty amazing group of people that Nate helped pull together, the Budget and Policy Advisory Group. So we have really intelligent, dedicated people volunteering a lot of time to come and tell us about how they think about our work and about how they think we're doing in our work. And we have a pretty amazing opportunity to hear them engage in real dialogue, like radical open-mindedness, and figure out, like, here's what our current state is, what does our future state need to look like, and what are the strategies that we're going to recommend to you all to put in place to help us get to that future state. So we had an initial Budget and Policy Advisory Group meeting where we kicked off the zero-based part of this big project. It went pretty well. I thought that they started to see the budget information and go, wow, that is kind of complex. We also got to, we shared our first draft of this and pretty much said, hey, so does this look like how you look at our agency? Do we have the boxes right? Because we knew that we were going to jam on the 100-page document, and that was going to take staff a lot of time and away from other priority work. So we wanted to make sure that we were giving them the best product we can for the upcoming meeting on February 7th. In addition to that, it's kind of, I feel like the Seahawks, when Pete Carroll called for a pass play on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl, and everyone went, are you kidding me? And I think he was a genius. He saw something none of the rest of us saw, but we all saw a run, right? And I feel like part of the evolution, we get to have an opportunity through this. And hopefully this is the first of many years of how we evolve as an agency doing public service. We get a chance to go, yeah, but we saw these components of that play that we felt we had a higher probability of success on. In other words, it's easy to sit back and go, my pet things, I know more about them. I don't necessarily, therefore I focus my attention and agitation sometimes at those boxes, and yet I don't understand necessarily how they're connected to some of the other boxes that are on here. So if we're engaging in a, what do you think we need to look like in the future to meet your expectations, we want to make sure that everyone sitting around that table is giving us as best of recommendations as possible that we could bring to you and they could bring directly to you as well. And that means they need to know what kind of, at some basic level, what is all this work in all these boxes and how are they connected? Because otherwise you would have well, let's just take that money from there and throw it all in hatcheries, and then all of a sudden wild populations are listed as endangered, and then we're not growing hatchery fish anymore, as an example, right? So we want to, like, highlight those connection points.
But we had Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. We would have only had Thomas Rawls in. So one thing that we're doing, kind of a next step with the Budget and Policy Advisory Group, starting next week, Kim and I will be traveling around with the consulting group that is facilitating the Budget and Policy Advisory Group, to sit down with smaller groups of them and have maybe more informal conversation where we present, like, here's what the work is in these boxes, not at the 5-foot elevation, but maybe the 500 or 1,000-foot elevation, and kind of listen, like, is this meeting their needs to have a robust conversation when they all come together on February 7th? We don't have a ton of time with those groups, unfortunately, before February 7th, but we're also hoping to maybe start to hear a little bit of their hopes and fears walking into that, so that we can make sure that those conversations are really effective when they come together. This is where I get super duper excited. I think as a society, sometimes we have a tendency to pick the easy things, which are, oh, there's a symptom, or my issue is this. And we quickly identify a symptom, we throw a treatment at it, maybe it gets better for a little while, and then pretty soon it comes back, and our health is worse than it was before. So we have a real opportunity to do some root cause analysis, how these boxes are connected, or why do recreational anglers, for example, feel like their opportunities aren't exceptional or meeting their needs. Same with hunters, or same with our wildlife diversity species. Why are populations declining? And actually have a conversation about a root cause analysis. Does that make sense to this group, right? So that we're starting to hone in at least closer to the, boy, we might be able to treat that and make that actually healthy for a long time or forever. And I hope, really, in this exercise, too, that if I'm in the public shoes, I don't always maybe sense or feel like the department hears me. And I think through this exercise and this dialogue, there's a real opportunity for us to actually learn, and for them to truly believe they're being heard and see it converted to action. I'm a biologist, not an IT person. The other piece of that, like, you have that root cause, but you also have the causal loop maps that we're going to be working on together, too, so that folks sitting around the table having conversations about the fishing opportunities or the hunting opportunities or outdoor recreation that's non-consumptive in nature, or just our overall wildlife conservation efforts, you can see the connection points between, again, the boxes, so that you could say, oh, well, if I just eradicate this box, then that's going to potentially have negative ramifications on the outcomes that I'm trying to push the agency towards. So I think at the end of the day, there's the budget benefits. Like, we just put the information on the table. We have conversations. We try to put it in a format that people could easily digest and understand, and therefore get to what's funding my priorities. Do we have flexibility around that? And if so, how do we create a better future state for the organization and the outcomes and opportunities? I also think, like I said before, there's going to be a lot of learning both ways. And I think that's exciting because we're going to grow together. And as Director Unsworth likes to say, if we do this right, then we'll have the cavalry behind us. Not just now, not next year, but long into the future, we'll be operating as an outstanding public agency that listens to its public and works with them to achieve the outcomes that they expect of us.
I think our sly old fox chairperson gave you less time to do this on for a reason, to prepare you for the legislature.
Old fox?
And I think you passed the test very well, and with your tools you're using and the brief talks you gave, it came across really well. So well done. Very good. Very good tools and an ability to look at this now in a different way, for me anyway. And, if you know, like I say, I think the shortened time period didn't hurt you at all.
Yeah, I can actually say I'm excited about the 100 or the one pagers. I don't remember the last time I said I was excited about a budget.
not the interpretive dance.
Yeah, right. That's an image I don't want on a front.
Start winding soon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and also a lot of excellent work, and thank you for dancing with the time today. Not all your work was shown here, but we've got it. So with regard to the end point, the zero base end point, I don't know that I quite caught when there would be some sort of totem pole to look at here.
Commissioner McIsaac, I think that depends upon what the totem pole that we're talking about is. If it's the final report that meets the legislative requirements, that's something that we don't have to rush to complete. It's not due until September, I believe. We'll have it drafted as a reference document, and as our budget and policy advisory group gives us feedback on what information is useful, what information would be nice to have as well, we can keep adding to that. We can keep refining that. We can keep shortening it, too. So the goal will be to work that and continue to polish it throughout the summer as on a parallel process based on the feedback we get from stakeholders, and then submit it to the legislature in September when it's due. On the other hand, these one-pagers, those will be used by the Budget and Policy Advisory Group starting next month. So that will be put into play very, very quickly. So it depends on which product we're talking about in terms of the time frame.
And this is going to provide a really good basis for people to think about choices in there, knowing the linkages and all the rest of the information. What is the finest unit that's going to be used in the end? Is it going to be these one-pagers, or when there is a zero-based budget? You know, a lot of the controversy comes over in whether you've got 270 different ones or you have three. So what is the finest unit that's going to be displayed?
So I think the answer to that is going to be it depends. As Jeff laid out, our goal is really to work on the long-term revenue plan with our stakeholder group. For them to be willing to support increased fees, they have to have trust in us. We have to have transparency in our budget. And so the answer is going to be we'll have as much detail as they need to be on board, support, understand our work, trust it. And if they need more detailed analysis on specific issues, we're going to give them that. Does that answer? Well, Jeff wants to add to that.
Thank you, David. I think the intent really is to have the Budget and Policy Advisory Group basically have a broad conversation about this. What I expect we'll see is, if I'm a hunter or angler, I'm looking at where my revenue's going. I'm going, okay, is that where I want it to go? And if not, does the group support moving that around to certain places? And like I said, it's a really diverse group of folks, right? We got outdoor recreationists, we got land trust folks, we got Association of Washington Business, we have counties. So that it's going to be a pretty cool, robust conversation. Fees are a part of the dialogue, and I don't know that we're in a place of yes, raise fees or no. We are in a place of we're $27 to $30 million probably short, moving beyond this biennium, and that problem can probably be solved a thousand different ways. And we might get to a place of, hey, you know, after this conversation, it looks like some of this work isn't, we can't tell how effective it is, and it has this amount of money, so do we take that and stop putting the money there and start putting it towards something else. And from that, then we step into the next phase with the Budget and Policy Advisory Group, which is the long-term revenue. Now, I'm not a big fan of the long-term revenue as a title of that. I think the Ledge gave us that language, but it really is the long-term funding strategy for the organization, the future state that that hopefully these folks will help us form as a recommendation to you that needs to also be part of your conversation. Does that align with where you want the agency to go into the future? And from that, then we would hope that we would be developing the 19-21 budget recommendation that would come forward that would represent the agency's needs, what we heard from the Budget and Policy Advisory Group for your consideration to debate in advance.
On that, maybe at their next meeting, can one of you report back on a couple of things in terms of future budgets? And they go together. It's how we're going to grow money on trees. The Ruckels House process with the Discover passes. Not only that, we are hopefully involved with that, but sort of what we're saying or asking for. And then the Discovering America's Wildlife Act stuff, Nate has talked about that a couple times. What I want to know is if there's a match required, and I think there is, and I think it's a big match, are we planning for that, and is there supplantation allowed or not? And so how we're working that into future budgets. Okay.
The development of these tools, I think, are going to be really important. You know, I'm just looking at our timetables here, and you know, I see that we're looking for guidance on agency requests for legislation and budget packages for 2019-2012 in June, and then July budget requests and agency requests legislation in July, and then August. And my experience, brief experience, of course, with this whole budget process was last year I felt like we were looking at the caboose by the time we looked at the budget. And when the package hit the legislature, it was doomed by the time it arrived. There were some obvious issues with it. We got immediate feedback from the public. I feel like the process you're engaged in is going to help resolve a lot of those. If you, during the process of getting agreement on these tools and an understanding of all the different pieces and how they all fit together, that there's also a message of where the shortfalls are and where people suggest we get the funding to accomplish that. So this process, I'm glad to see started now, and that you're getting the public engaged at this stage, because it's terrifying to me to think we're going to get blindsided again when we throw a package to the legislature and we just get so much resistance. And I think these tools will help people understand it, but at the same time, they need to understand the shortfalls, what we're up against as a department, to continue to provide the services that we do now and what it means for even the near future. You know, they need to understand, well, which of these boxes is going to go away, because we do not have the funding, because we don't have the cooperation or understanding from the legislature why it's important. That's probably just a statement more than anything else.
We got one other document that wasn't referred to. It looks like a work plan. Was this put together by Matrix and now is refined by the work that EMT did yesterday, or what is this?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Thorburn, that document is Matrix implementation plan. So basically just took the 50 recommendations and identified which time they recommended that we would pursue that. So.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Great job, and look forward to dialogue soon. And well done.